Good evening. I'm Paul D'Arienzo with the headlines. Israeli fighter bombers destroyed Iran's consulate in Syria's capital Damascus Monday, killing a senior commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard, Mohammad Reza Zahedi. Several others were also killed in the attack. State Department spokesperson Matt Miller was asked if the United States had advance warning of the attack, but he ducked the issue.
We are in conversations with partners in the region, gathering more information, but at this point don't have confirmation either of the target or the responsible party.
Do you know if the United States was given a heads up by Israel about this?
Again, we are gathering information. I don't have anything about the strike right now. I don't have anything beyond that to offer.
Video showed a smoking mountain of rubble on a residential street as an Iranian flag hung next to a photograph of Zahedi. The New York Times reports, although Israel has publicly refused to comment, sources say it was a targeted attack against Zahedi. Iran's ambassador to Syria promised a fierce response to the attacks. And the Israeli parliament approved a law giving the government power to ban broadcasts of foreign TV channels, including the Qatar-based satellite news channel Al Jazeera. In Washington, State Department spokesperson Miller said the U.S. continues to cooperate with Al Jazeera.
It's well known that we've not always agreed with all of Al Jazeera's coverage, but it's a media organization that we engage with. I've done interviews with Al Jazeera. Other people from the department have done interviews with Al Jazeera. So what we will continue to make clear is that we support the work that the Free Press does.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel said he would act immediately to close the network's local office. Al Jazeera has repeatedly charged Israel with targeting their reporters. Among the prominent targets in Gaza was videographer Samir Abu Dhaka, who was killed in an Israeli drone attack. Al Jazeera reports that 12 of their reporters have died in Gaza covering the war. The Committee to Protect Journalists reports at least 95 journalists and media workers have been killed in Gaza since October 7th. 16 have been injured, 4 are reported missing, and 25 reporters have been arrested. In national news, President Joe Biden will be in Baltimore on Friday to see up close the damage from last week's collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre.
The president is continuing to lead a whole-of-government approach to the collapse. President Biden and his team are working with Governor Moore, the congressional delegation, Mayor Scott, and numerous state and local officials to reopen the port, rebuild the bridge, and support the people of Baltimore.
The collapse has effectively shut down operations at Baltimore's port, affecting about 8,000 jobs and about $2 million in daily wages for those workers. Maryland Governor Wes Moore says his goal is to open a channel to allow emergency access to the harbor.
The north sections of the Key Bridge are going to be cut up and removed. This will eventually allow us to open up a temporary restricted channel that will help us to get more vessels in the water around the site of the collapse.
Moore adds, it's not going to be easy.
It's not going to take hours. It's not going to take days. But once we complete this phase of the work, we can move more tugs and more barges and more boats into the area to accelerate our recovery.
Between $100 million and $200 million worth of trade went through the port every day before the bridge's collapse, and the port was America's largest for handling vehicle imports. In election news, Tuesday is primary day in Wisconsin, arguably the most pivotal swing state in the nation. President Biden beat former President Trump there by a little more than 20,000 votes in 2020, or just over 0.5%. Organizers with the group Listen to Wisconsin are driving the state's Uninstructed campaign, Wisconsin's version of Uncommitted, in support of changing U.S. policy in Gaza. In February, about 100,000 voters checked Uncommitted in the Michigan primary. The head of Listen to Wisconsin is Palestinian organizer Rima Ahmad.
Our goal primarily out here in Wisconsin is we know elections are extremely close. They have been won by less than 1% of the vote. So we know that if we can show that margin to come out tomorrow, April 2nd, to vote uninstructed, that we can send a message to this administration that we need policy change.
Ahmad adds, the path to the presidency runs through Wisconsin, and voting uninstructed is an exercise in democracy.
We believe that in pulling people in to this process, we are helping people to get back into the habit of democracy and pushing our administration towards policy change. We're focused on the primary, and honestly, the ball is in this administration's court about the decisions, the policy changes that they need to make, we can continue to move forward this election cycle into November.
Primaries are also being held in Rhode Island and Connecticut on Tuesday. The Connecticut Palestine Solidarity Coalition, including the state chapters of Jewish Voices for Peace Action and the Democratic Socialists of America, are also urging voters to choose uncommitted. Paul D'Arienzo, New York.